What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Before we dive into the Survivor finale, I have a few exciting updates to share. Proud Stutter just wrapped an unforgettable event in Philadelphia with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where we also had the honor of receiving a letter of support from former President Joe Biden himself. I want to shout out Joe and Gavin, who helped make that event possible. During my trip in Philly, I also met so many amazing people. I met a fellow filmmaker who stutters, Julian Turner. I also met a stutter in the wild at the work conference that I spoke at. And yeah, it was incredible. And now I really encourage you guys to mark your calendars because Proud Stutter is going to be having its third annual gala, this time in San Francisco on October 9th, which is the day after my birthday. So it's going to be a huge birthday celebration, and it's really going to be an amazing event. I'll also be speaking at the Southern Documentary Fund Gathering in North Carolina in a few weeks. So if you live in the area, let me know. And probably one of the biggest announcements yet is we are filming for the documentary officially at the end of the month, and really could not do it without this community. The crowdfunding we did last year is a huge reason why we're able to accomplish this milestone. And so, yeah, I look forward to all of that. And without further ado, let's get into that wild Survivor finale. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm here with Caitlin Dietz and Elliot Goldstein. We're here to recap the finale of Survivor 48. We are here, and our champion Survivor player, Mitch, made it all the way to the finale. Go, Mitch. Woo! We made it. I'm so excited because it would have been a little awkward if we were recapping the finale and Mitch wouldn't be there. Although, either way, he's on the jury, so we would have had some Mitch time, but how cool that he made it all the way.
Absolutely. We had full faith, though, that he was going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely played a great game and really went out in the best way you could in Survivor, which we'll talk about. But before we get into the finale, I wanted to just, I know it's been a while since we recapped, so I just wanted to, maybe we can go around and share a highlight from some of the episodes we missed.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot, but I guess just one of the first things that comes to mind was the episode where Mary got voted out and she knew she was on the chopping block. So she went, you know, straight to chopping the coconuts and trying to just like, she's like, all right, if I'm out, then I'm going to make a scene on the way out. I'm not going out quietly. And so that, her final act, I think, was just your pure entertainment.
I wouldn't expect anything less from Mary because that's how she's played her entire game. And I feel like she wouldn't, you know, just go out of the game quietly and without stirring the pot a little bit or playing some mind games. So, oh, it was such a such a pleasure and so entertaining to watch her play this game. I feel like she really had fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. And mine, I was like laughing so hard during this scene. But it was the tribal council when Shaheen went home, and Joe was looking at Kyle and Shaheen, and the editing work was like, it would go really quiet and Joe would be looking at one guy and then the other, and there'd be just like weird music, and he was like contemplating which one he can trust. And that was just hilarious because you like how Joe played the game, like he really wanted to like trust his people so bad. Mm-hmm. And he almost got it. Like he did ask himself the right questions about like, is Kyle really, should we trust Kyle? But, you know, Joe followed his heart and unfortunately it didn't quite work out for him. But yeah, great editing from this Survivor team.
10 out of 10. I did think of one other thing that I wanted to mention. It was the ganglion cyst. and Shaheen winning that challenge. Oh my god, that was incredible, his win. I'm so glad he got that win because he'd been so close every challenge trying to get a win, and then when he was talking about his ganglion cyst, I was like, oh, he's done for, but he stuck in there. And like that graceful dive when he won out of, you know, the platform, and I'm like, that was a great challenge.
Yeah. And that really helped me because I worked out the next day and I was doing planks and I kept thinking about him. I'm like, okay, if Shaheen can get through this, this challenge, I can get through this plank. So thank you.
without a ganglion cyst. So.
Yeah. So now maybe I'll just think of that moment whenever I'm struggling.
Me too. Yeah. the Kyle and Camilla secret alliance. I mean, I wasn't sure like where that was going to go with their game. Like they were pulling some stuff off, but this was huge with the Shaheen part. And like Kyle thinking of this elaborate scheme and them working together to, you know, play the mind games with Joe and Eva. And I think they really could pull it off because people hadn't really tried anything like that throughout the season. So mm-hmm. It was the perfect opportunity to do a little lying. And Camilla's acting was amazing. And she was like, I'm ready. I've been waiting for this moment. And she
really she's well. Like, I love throwing people under the bus. Let's do it again. And yeah, so I mean, without fast forwarding too far ahead, when he said at the end, he's like, yeah, on some days, she and I only had like 30 seconds to chat with each other. So it was like a quick 30 seconds. And then we just had to trust that like the other got whatever the plan was. I was like, that is crazy. Cause as the audience member, you know, you're seeing a lot of their conversations on camera. So like, I didn't realize that they were like, on some days they just had a quick 30 second, you know, little meeting in the woods or in the,
yeah,
in the trees. But I guess like trees. That's how it was.
Yeah. They were just the best duo. Like they just got each other and were both like super smart and strategic. And
yeah. Okay. So who's better, Joe and Eva or Kyle and Camilla?
I mean, you got to go Kyle and Camilla, right? Because one won the game.
Yeah. And they're just, it's so hard to compare them because they're both so different. Because it's like, I think for like Survivor's sake, having like an undercover duo and like the strategy is like great. But then it's like the emotional game of Joe and Eva, like really sticking together the whole way and not getting one of them to be voted out. That's a great duo too, because we on Survivor, we love the strategy, but just to see that emotional bond kind of play out on TV and like seeing them help each other, and that's like what Survivor's all about too. So it's hard to compare.
One was stuck around, one team stuck around, Joe and Eva, just through sheer dominance and sheer like skill, winning the challenges, being likable, having a good social game. And then the other, while they were also dominant in some areas, like her puzzle game was phenomenal. They had more of the like high wire strategic act and, you know, balancing that. So
I don't know. Yeah, that's so the outwit. In outwit, outplay, outlast, for sure.
But I also think the reason why Joe and Eva were able to stay together too was because people thought they could beat them at the end. So, yeah, like if Mitch, and I don't want to go too far ahead, but, you know, if they didn't see Mitch as such a threat of winning, like one of them would have gone. So it's really also like people thought they could beat them too. So
Joe played such an amazing physical game and won so many challenges, and also like had a really good social game, but I feel like he didn't pitch himself. He undermined his game, I think.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. He could have done a better job with selling them on his game.
I think ultimately what may have hurt Joe is that he was very vocal about his game being like, you know, I want to go through without any, you know, backstabbing and, you know, full trust. I want to be out in the open and you know, be like, you know, man of my word. And so I think, especially with like David, who felt like he was maybe backstabbed by Joe, I think other people felt, or maybe I'm reading into this too much, but I felt like other people saw Joe as being like a little too self-righteous and sort of hypocritical in a way, at least from like David's standpoint.
And also Kyle had like a lot more friends on the jury, which was great jury management on his part, and he had an ally to help with jury votes and Camilla, and Kyle's a lawyer, so like as a lawyer you have to present a case, so it's like you don't want to have a lawyer at the end against you, and that moment
where they were revealing secrets and he revealed he was a lawyer, and Eva's face was like,
oh my God. So many amazing aha. Like even Joe's facial expressions when they found out certain things about Kyle. I'm just like, this is so funny. This is such a great meme.
Okay. Who would you two have actually voted for between those three? I think I would have voted Joe, ultimately.
How come?
I think because I think his story really got me. And I was also thinking of like, not just how, and maybe this isn't how you should be voting, but I was also thinking like, whose life would have more or would create more of an impact by receiving $1 million. You know, it's a large sum of money. And I was like, based off of their stories, and Joe was like, you know, this is for my kids, yeah, and he's the fire captain. I was like, I don't know, maybe the like economic impact is not how you should be voting. But ultimately I was like, I probably would have been swayed by his story and like what it was going towards. Cause he was like, this is my kid's future.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people actually knew the full story, because he shared a lot, you know, in private, like to the camera. Yeah. So I don't think he doesn't seem like the type that would like open up just to like get votes, you know? So maybe if like he opened up more to more people, like, because that I totally agree with you, Elliot. Like, it's not like a slam dunk that I'd vote for Joe, but like, just if I had to think about it, because like, when you first asked that, I was like, oh, definitely the Kyle. But then I was like, oh, but Joe's story, like, that is just like, I think if I really thought about it, I'd probably end up choosing Joe too, because he probably would use a lot of that money to like give back and like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Kyle wouldn't do that either, but yeah, I really just appreciated like how open he was, and yeah, was very taken by his story. So
Yeah, when he talked about what happened with his sister and their fight, and I think a lot of people can relate to that just because, you know, things like that are can be so unexpected, and usually the way you leave things with loved ones, you can't always pick the perfect conversation or the perfect moment. And when he talked to her on that sunrise morning, this season made me cry so much, like so emotional. That really touched my heart. And then he won that challenge, and I really think that she was there and helped him win that. And when he said, "This is for you, Jay," I was like, oh,
Yeah, no, that was very moving.
so beautiful.
Everything about that. And ultimately, I think, people's stories, that's why they didn't want Mitch on the panel, 'cause his story, not just how he played the game, but his story. I think people were afraid of, being next to that on the panel, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that they, 'cause I feel like Mitch and Eva both kind of opened up, and they both not have similar stories, but I feel like, you know, it would have m meant a lot, you know, to either like the stuttering community or the autism community. So yeah, I'm kind of wondering why people saw that more in Mitch and not in Eva story.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And I think we just don't see everything, obviously. So maybe there's just, you know.
Well, I mean, Mitch plays a better social game. He had more connections with people. I think
That's
that's
true.
ultimately what it came down to, is that he was very well liked by everyone, and like Eva had her circle, and that was kind of it. So I think that she didn't have as many alliances as Mitch did, combined with, you know, his resilience and his, you know, just overall being such a great player. I think that is why they went with him instead of Eva.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we talk about Mitch's game and just like how he did and how amazing he was?
Yeah, let's get into it.
I think he, you know, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but he outlasted. He did such an amazing job, and he connected with the right people and had the right conversations, and kind of played a little bit under the radar when he had to, and knew when to like join a vote, and then when to like try and have some, you know, strategic conversations with people. And that got, I think that really got him super far. And then just being so incredibly likable, and I loved seeing like moments of, you know, teasing each other and his snoring, and
The
just like
snoring, yeah. Star was not
fun
about
he
it,
is. Yeah. Just how much fun he like seems like to be around. And yeah, it was just incredible to see him. And he was such a good game player too. Like, it's a shame that, you know, they had some really like big, strong, you know, players like Joe and David, because he really was good, especially with like, you know, the hoops, any like hoop challenges, like he nailed that. And you know, he's a PE teacher, so that was totally to be expected. But
Yeah, no. I think also thinking back over these past few episodes, another favorite moment was when he was like recounting that story of him being a mailman and he was like running away from a dog Remember that? And yeah, and he had like everyone laughing. That was a good Mitch moment. Hashtag Mitch moment. But yeah, I think just like, you know, going into this season, obviously I began watching this because of Mitch, which is, you know, the reason why we're doing these Survivor recaps in the first place. And I didn't expect to be so moved by seeing someone like him represent something that I've had my entire life, and seeing him be so open with his stuttering and being a leader in the game and being a competitor and having everyone accept him and having him be treated really, really nicely, and having like Jeff be, you know, really wonderful with how he, you know, spoke about or spoke with Mitch about his stutter. I think so. I didn't expect for it to feel like so healing in a way, to really see that and see him and his stutter be so completely accepted. Like, I don't remember, and you know, maybe they edited this out, but I don't remember anyone seeing anyone be cruel, or him, or like any part of his speech being like the, you know, butt of a joke. And I mean, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, but I just think like seeing that play out was really healing in a way.
Yeah. And I loved in the scenes we saw, like, he wasn't interrupted. Like, people just seemed so used to his stutter and didn't make a big deal of it. Like, when he was being, when, you know, like during the in between challenges and stuff. And yeah, and the fact that he was able to talk about how his relationships and communication with people was what made him go so far, like, that is just such gold for people who stutter to like be represented in that way, as being like great at like building relationships. And I think that's really what got him as far as he did. Like, his number one went home, like, Christy went home so early, and he was able to like adapt and like build relationships and really just, and I don't think he like floated at all. Like, I really think he was able to like build a case along the way, and that's why people were so scared of him at the end.
No, he definitely didn't float. He was very intentional about his social game.
Up until the very end, I was like, thank you, Mitch. And I hope we see Mitch again on another season. Like, how cool would that be?
Or other shows, like The Challenge, or, you know, other shows like that would be awesome.
I mean, Jeff was even saying, when everyone was having like champagne and pizza at the very end, he was like, he made the prediction that Mitch would be a fan favorite across seasons. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Let's do a campaign of like, get Mitch in season 50, because that's when everyone's gonna be like,
oh, for sure.
All the OGs are gonna be back.
Yeah, I think they're doing a range. I mean, from what I'm hearing whispers, like, they're gonna do a range of OGs and some new people. I think like Camilla's name was thrown out there. Mitch would be amazing. Like, yeah, I would love to see that. I'd love to see him on The Challenge. I'd love to see him on, you know, other like social games. Hey, maybe even like The Circle, or like Big Brother, or, you know, something like that too would be.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Or cool. How cool would it be to see him on a dating show?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is single. They were talking about that at the end.
I'm so here for that.
That would be so great.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I have a question though, just about winning the game. So if you're Kyle, do you win the game? Do you give Camilla any money?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not winning the game without her.
Should we go and recap some of the highlights from the finale?
Let's do it.
All right. So we start with Eva gets an advantage.
Again.
They scramble and they scramble in the forest or whatever it's called. And they have another word puzzle. But Eva's advantage didn't really make a difference because the challenge was just so, like, whenever they have that, like, twisty net in the mud, like, that's, like, I remember I got a flashback of when Carolyn was, like, stuck in there and she couldn't even get out.
Oh, my God, yeah. She's so,
so sad.
That looked hard.
Oh, and oh, the fact that Camilla was last.
Dead last by a mile. Out, yeah.
That was amazing.
It came back. Saying. I mean, really showed off the puzzle skills.
Mm-hmm. That's the equal. We call it the equalizer, the puzzle. It's always the equalizer because it doesn't matter. Like, if someone gets there first, but they're not good at puzzles, like, it'll just even everything out.
Yeah, I was so proud of her in that moment. I'm so glad she, like, had that. Even though, like, she ended up winning, like, she'll have that moment to, like, be like, that was my moment. I did it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. And, like, when she talked about, like, the self-hate talk and, like, the negative talk, and it's so hard to, like, change your mindset around that negative self-talk, and the fact that she's like, that was such a big moment for her, and like realizing how impactful positive self-talk can be. I'm just like, oh, thank you.
And that therapist Jeff, like, trying to get her to change her mindset too.
Oh, Jeff's so good. Like,
he's so crazy. Good at that stuff. Yeah.
Like, just being a host. I mean,
he's, I just so need him to present. Follow me around, like,
so
all day.
Good,
like, that would be great.
So good. But Camilla chose Eva for the food. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
oh, yeah, man. I didn't really quite understand that game move. Was it like, oh, we're the two last women and we should,
I don't know. She was saying that they had, like, been talking about pasta or something, but and I think this was before everyone had, like, ultimately decided to vote Mitch out. But, you know, get Mitch some food.
Let's talk about Mitch and him leaving the show. Or no, not leaving the show because he's technically still on the jury. But, yeah, getting voted out. Like, wow. What? Like, that rarely happens on Survivor when people, like, tell you ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I think
that.
Because of the respect. This game, they played with so much respect to each other. And I think that, you know, the respect and that they have for Mitch. And I was, like, hoping, like, when my family and I were watching, we were hoping that maybe there was some other thing going on behind the scenes. But then, you know, when they started voting and they, like, showed his name, I was like, oh, okay, there's not anything else going on here. Dang it. It actually is Mitch. Yeah, that made me laugh. So I just still mess with him. That was so funny.
Yeah. But no, he also had, because I remember when he was on the beach speaking with Camilla, he had a big stuttering moment, which they, the producers, you know, showed all the way through, which I think was... very cool to see.
Yeah. And I was listening to another podcast, just a few minutes of it yesterday with two, it was like one guy that had never played. And then it was two people that had played. And one of them was Tyson, who's like one of the most famous players, he said something interesting in that you kind of have to adapt as a player to like the vibe of like the people you're playing with. So like if everyone's playing like a really respectful, trusting game, you kind of have to play into that. So I really think like even Joe really set the tone for a lot yes. of the playing. Like their
agree
public bond and their like being super relationship trusting base, I really think that set the tone, because Camilla and Kyle really may have been more cutthroat if that tone wasn't set. So I'm always like, how would this be a little differently and maybe more like cutthroat like other seasons if Joe and Eva hadn't set that tone? So
that's a great point.
So thanks, Tyson, for
for the insight.
You
know what though, Maya, like from the second they touched the sand, there was a level, they already set the tone for respect. Like when Jeff, you know, asked Mitch about his stutter and, you know, how he wants, you know, to go about it. And everyone was so amazing. And I think like just from there, people already were, you know, respecting each other and being supportive. And then when Eva opened up about her autism and everyone was super respectful. And I think they just kept going with that. And Joe and Eva and their alliance, and Joe, I think if Joe weren't winning as many challenges as he did too, maybe, you know, it would be a little bit different, because he, since he was winning so much and he had so much immunity, like whoever has the immunity for that week is kind of has a little more power than everyone else. So yeah, very interesting dynamics this season.
Yeah. Okay. So we go into, so there's the final immunity challenge, which I love. This is like a classic final challenge with like,
that game looks fun. I want to play that game.
Oh my God. I would lose immediately. I've got tiny hands, so can't do it.
That'd be such a good bar game.
Oh, they should make that. Survivor.
I know. I wonder if you can buy that game.
Someone could probably build it.
Yeah.
I was wondering throughout the season, all of the crew that it takes, and just the, like behind the scenes of what it takes like to really build out these games, like, you know, I don't know, like are, for example, this game, are they saving this from past seasons and they just like break it out again, you know?
Yeah.
But even then, all of the building that it takes for all of these challenges day in, day out, I wonder like how much of that is happening overnight, how much is already built.
Oh yeah, they're probably working around the clock. Yeah. Yeah. And I heard from listening to the podcast that Tyson does that they have to test each new challenge, and so they actually take regular people from this like the crew and set and be like, hey,
PAs and
can you be my guinea pig to make sure that you know everyone can do that, this type of the thing. So
and they also walk them through it like off camera completely, like from front to back, so that they know, you know, where to go and what to do.
That makes sense, because as Jeff is explaining the challenge to everyone, they show footage of, there's always like a hand, you know, that they show like doing the challenge, and I'm like, you know, maybe that's one of the PAs that they have, you know, do the challenge beforehand.
Definitely. So like they'll do it and they'll show them how to do it, and then they'll like walk them through it and everything, so they're fully prepared. Because if they didn't do that, like if it were me, I would be like, oh, I forgot how to do all of this. Like,
yeah.
Because of the adrenaline and, you know, everything. I'm like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I forgot how to function. So
100%.
Yeah, so they actually don't do that on Deal or No Deal Island, which I found out when I interviewed Philip. That's why in the beginning, so many players are like, they don't really understand how the challenge works. Like, it, as they're doing this challenge. See it. Like, yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, like, duh. Like, of course you have to do that, especially because the challenges on Deal or No Deal Island are like next level complicated. I'm like, I could have never figured that out. So,
yeah, Elliot, you should watch it if you haven't. It's great.
I need to.
Yeah. But yeah, that's this one's kind of a little more of a classic Survivor game with the balls. It's, you know, I think it's interesting that they picked that as the last one. You know, because it's not like a big, huge obstacle course puzzle thing. It's like purely concentration and
which is really quickness. Hard when mm-hmm. you're like sleep deprived and food deprived. Like the fact they lasted that long was very impressive. But yeah, so Kyle ends up winning, which I'm like, okay, damn, because I kind of wanted Camilla to win everything, but it's okay. I still love Kyle too.
Well, yeah, I mean, if she had made it, sounds like she would have won, right? Because Jeff asked at the after party if Camilla had made it, who would have voted, and everyone was like, yep.
And yeah, he kind of was like, okay, Eva and Camilla, like, you guys are making a fire. And Eva had a really rough time with that, which was heartbreaking to witness. And apparently it was a lot worse than what we saw. Like, she opened up and said, like, what you saw is, like, not even half of, like, it was so... but again, Joe was there for her, and the fact that she had Joe the whole time, like, that was great just to have,
because yep. he's a firefighter, so he knows how to make fire.
I know, clearly. No one better than Joe to guide you in that challenge. And he was even offering, he's like, I want to do it, you know, let me go in there for you.
Even Kyle too.
Yeah.
Kyle was considering making the fire too. Like, amazing hearts. And people on this show, like, this is for $1 million, and you're like, you know, willing to step in. And I think that that's so respectful.
Yeah.
But Eva was like, nope, I'm doing this. And I'm really like, that's awesome. I'm really impressed with her that she didn't give up and she powered through it. And she always has the best smile on her face when she overcomes something. And
yeah, she really does.
She, like, when she won the fire challenge, that was amazing to see. And that she
and when it started
up.
To go out because of the wind, and we were like, oh my god, don't give up, don't give up. Yeah. And Camilla was cheering her on.
Oh, I know, that was so good. Yeah,
like, that is your direct opponent to go into the final, and you're cheering her on, like, just stand up, people.
I know. I think that just, you know, goes to show you how close you can get with someone or with multiple people over the course of 3 weeks when you're each going through tough stuff, you know, when you're sharing an experience just over the course of even a few days, you know, but let alone 3 weeks, the relationships that you can build, I think anyone of them expected for that to happen. Like, they're all, you know, going in there being like, I'm going to be cutthroat, win $1 million. And then by the end, you're cheering on your opponent, you know?
Yeah. Camilla said that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trauma bonding is real.
Yep. Lots of that on Survivor.
And that's how you do it on Survivor.
Yeah. And that's Survivor 48.
Yeah, I kind of, it would have been really epic to see Mitch kind of present his case as a person who stutters. We probably would have gotten a lot of stuttering in there. But it's okay. I mean, he still got his moment. And let's talk about, though, when a lot of like weird and awesome moments during that, but when David is just so weird, like his knock knock joke, I'm like, what is about to happen?
He just trolled everyone for weeks. Man. Like, why? Like, the wasn't like, even that good.
I know. I'm like, why are you doing this? This is so strange.
Knock, knock. And they're like, who's there?
I know. And the reason behind it, too, it was like, I wanted you to feel how I felt. You know, it all felt a little passive aggressive.
He just likes the attention.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, sorry, actually
I'm making his face right now for
from now on, you know, 90 degree angles.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Oh my gosh. We already said this, but when Kyle revealed his secret alliance, and then Joe and Eva's face, like, oh my God, it was so classic.
Camilla was like, I got you. I was like, yes. Oh, it's over. It is over for them.
It all just sank in all at once, and they're like, oh shit.
Yep.
But yeah, epic season. I really loved it. And my big question is for Elliot. Like, Elliot, will you be watching the next season?
I can definitely see myself watching again. I mean, I got hooked. I got sucked in. This became the only TV show that I was watching. And it was great. So, yes, I think I will be.
Yes.
As long as they have as great a cast as they did for season 38.
Yeah, it's all about the cast for me. Like, yeah, like usually I'll watch the whole season through, but yeah, I don't know. There's so much cool things to spend your time doing, and yeah, you gotta be picky.
Yeah. I did go down a little rabbit hole just seeing everyone's like Instagram and like social media from the season's cast, and you know, seeing some of the videos that they posted from after the finale when like they could all finally talk about it, or like, you know, get with the other cast members. Was great. I think I saw a video of like Thomas and Say or something. Aww. That was, you know, funny. So like seeing Say's social media was funny. And yeah, just like seeing everyone's I think Shaheen had posted a video of like all of them hanging out at some like screening of the finale maybe. But yeah, that was fun to see.
Yeah, he took a video and he went around to and like each cast member and was like, if someone is considering going on Survivor, what would you tell them? And
yes, everyone was
like, do it. Yeah, Shaheen's social media he's hilarious.
He is.
He has been entertaining me very much lately. But yeah, everyone was like, do it. Why not? Just try it. Just do it. I would rather watch from the comfort of my couch. But whoever decides to go on it, if anyone's listening that is considering it, we would love to see you on
Twitter. Yes, do it.
We will root for you.
All right. Well, any last thoughts before we do a send off of our amazing recaps of Survivor 48 and being Mitch fan people?
I mean, I'm just so grateful to have been a part of this and part of the conversation. And I feel like I learned some stuff too, and that was really cool. And it was just so inspiring to watch Mitch's journey on here and cheer him on, and you know, watch these incredible people play the game and talk to you too. And yeah, it was great. I loved it. Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Yeah. To echo that, first of all, thank you for, you know, having us here during the season. Thank you for getting me to watch Survivor for the first time. But I think just your thoughts I have about everything, like I was sort of saying earlier, I didn't expect to be as moved by seeing Mitch on screen and, you know, seeing how open he was and how accepting everyone else was. But it just like, it goes to show you seeing yourself, a part of yourself on screen and seeing your story be told in a way is so important. And that's what, you know, that is something that will really stay with me.
Yes. And I am going to try to get an interview with Mitch. So please stay tuned for that. I've already been messaging him on Instagram. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Yeah. And I just want to end by just thanking the Survivor producers and everyone who worked on the show and really helped share Mitch's story, because that could have easily been, you know, really cut down and edited down, and it could have been an easy thing to just edit out his stutter. And so like, I think this is really going to change the stuttering narrative in a huge way. And it's going to really help just change like the stuttering narrative. Like the more cultural moments we have like this, the better. So thank you, Survivor. And thank you, my good friends, Caitlin and Elliot, for being on the pod and having great conversation. And who knows, maybe the next stuttering reality show person will be back. So we'll see. But thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.